When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Monday morning, call his wife and hey, how we doing? 403, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. We're talking baseball, getting ready for the Subway Series and both teams going in opposite directions. How about that? As the New York Mets take care of business in Chicago, a very important series against the Cubs, and they win yet another series after scoring a ton of runs and beating Imanaga, who's been one of the best pitchers in all of the National League, and just absolutely pound him in the opener. McGill doesn't give them a chance in the second one. They bounce back. And Severino, who has been incredible for this team, what a great signing at the start of the year, goes six strong. And whether it's the big-time at-bat, the 12-pitch at-bat, whether it's having the manager come out and showing faith in him, striking out 10 batters. They talked about wanting to up his strikeouts. He gives you that. Throwing 98 miles an hour late in this game for his 99th and 100th pitch, still having the heat. And, like, for me, as good as, this offense has been really the reason why this stretch has happened. This good stretch, this good baseball, these consecutive series victories, and now against an important Cub team that they are battling with in this National League Central, wild card race, excuse me, all the National League Central teams. But as they're battling with these guys, they need to secure victories against these teams for tiebreakers, as this is a jumbled mess where they are now one game back in this wild card. And this was a huge series. And as much as it's the offense, guys like Severino and this pitching staff have been really key for this team as well. And that's why, for me, Severino can't go anywhere. And there's been a lot of talk and some reports that they could view this, and we know, I've told you this, the general manager is itching to make trades. I've always said this. I still feel this way. As good a baseball as they've played here, I really feel like this general manager wants to make trades, especially with the assets that he brought in, especially with the guys he brought in for one-year contracts that can easily be shipped, can easily be moved, especially guys like Severino. And we've heard, because of some pitching depth, because they still have Buehler, because they still have Christian Scott and guys like that in the minor leagues, that they can kind of do both and feed both beasts and still compete inside this wild card race and get assets for guys like Severino. And I know it's just reports, but I'm telling you right now, Severino cannot be traded. This guy is too freaking good. He is a bulldog. He's going late into games. He's throwing 98 miles an hour, and we know his track record, and we know how good he's been. And this team has been too freaking good, and this is too important a stretch to even consider doing anything other than standing pat. I understand buying is going to be different, and as we kind of, get into all this, we're going to be focused on, obviously, the next couple days and the Subway Series, which we'll get into a lot more tomorrow, as, they're off tonight heading into the Tuesday-Wednesday set. But the trade deadline and how they're going to go about handling it. And for me, this is Severino making a case to be the most important starting pitch you have. We don't know what Senga's going to do. We don't know what the rest of this rotation is going to be. Yeah, sure, Buehler's been good, right? Scott was excellent when he was here and was still pitching well in minor league, sure. But you want, right now, they're as good as anybody. Like, that's what this team is showing you. That's what Lindor is showing you. The captain of this team who stepped up and decided to have the meeting and spoke in the meeting and called teammates out for not preparing enough. And since that moment, he's been hitting leadoff and being dynamic. And you've got Nimmo, who's gotten hot. JD Martinez has put this team on his back. And ultimately, this team and this offense has been as good as anyone in baseball over the last 3 weeks. And I know there's still another 3 weeks before the deadline, but for me, this team is unless it completely falls off the rails, I'm done selling. I know it's a talking point and we'll still have it, But they have completely impressed me. Remember, this is a guy who called them dead after the losing the last two games of the series against the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm completely changed because this offense has shown you what it can be and how they cook when they are like this. And this rotation's been damn good enough. You've gotten the best out of Quintana over the last couple starts. And right now, Severino is pitching like an ace or at least a great number two. And right now, I'm not moving anybody for any circumstance. This team has shown you, and they deserve, and this fan base deserves, an opportunity to see how far this team can go. And yes, it's only two games over under 500. And yes, there's still a lot of baseball to be played, and there's still a month between now and that trade deadline. But I got to admit, when I saw the report yesterday, whenever it was from John Heyman and others, that there's a chance that they could do both and try and feed both sides of this and try and, you know, play it both ways and get the best of both worlds while trading and acquiring more assets and still competing with the pitching depth they have. I can't see guys like Severino or J.D. Martinez or anyone who's impacting this team the way they've been impacting this team and the way they've been playing. I don't mess around. Because right now it's too important to stretch, even if they are going to be without their closer for the next 10 days. And unfortunately, that's felt like the biggest talking point coming out of the game. Then Severino, then winning another big series, then doing what the Mets have done. The talking point is now sticky stuff and whether or not the umpire is lying, as he's telling the reporters at the end of the game, that it wasn't just rosin, and sweat, and that's what Diaz says it was, and the penalty for it. And it's all stupid, and I've said it all morning. But it's just the whole arbitrary way it's being handled is absolutely ridiculous. I can't stand it. It drives me completely nuts that you can dole out a severe penalty, like 10 days suspension, and not being able to add anyone to the roster to replace him, that can be doled out just by an umpire feeling hands and going, ooh, a little sticky for me. That's ridiculous. And then once you get past that, now, how do the Mets go forward? I don't know if Drew Smith is hurt. Reed Foley's out. They've been dealing with injuries the entire year. Now they're without their closer, who's come back and pitched well. And they're on an important stretch here, and they got two games against the Yankees, who I know are terrible, and I know they're as bad as any team in baseball right now, and they can't compete with good teams. And the Mets right now are good teams. As the New York Yankees drop 2 out of 3 to Atlanta, they win the middle game on Saturday, lose the game on Friday night, lose the game on Sunday afternoon, despite a good pitching performance from Nestor Cortez. The offense has not been able to hit left-handed pitching, and the Mets are going to throw a couple of left-handed pitchers at them this week. But ultimately, this Yankee team is in an absolute funk. And yes, they lost Stanton to the surprise of nobody. We all know it. We all know it. I heard Gio talking about it, that no matter how great Stanton's been, you're always waiting for the shoe to drop. 100% agree. Said it. Everyone knows it. Cashman said it at the beginning of the year. This is no surprise. It's almost a shock that he made it this far. He's played great. And this is a devastating injury, considering the idea that they had the guy to replace him in Jason Dominguez. That was the key, right? We all kind of knew that he would get hurt, but the caveat was, okay, even if Stanton goes down, one, we didn't think he'd be this good. Two, if he does go down, they got Jason Dominguez. Well, Jason Dominguez has a strained oblique. He's gone for even longer, I suppose, than Stanton will be. And that's really the problem with the Stanton injury, because we all know Stanton's going to get hurt. The issue is how long, and it sounds like 4 weeks, and that's fine. You can live without him until after one of those weeks will be the All-Star break, thankfully. And you can probably live with him. The Yankees still are, despite how much the fan base thinks they stink. Still in first place. They actually picked up a game because the Orioles were swept away by the surging Houston Astros, which, by the way, keep surging, baby. I still want revenge. That's right. We want Houston. We'll get to that some other time later down the line. But they still picked up a game. But what's devastating is, yes, there's no Jason Dominguez to come back. When he does come back, how long does it take to get the swing back? That's the issue. Yes, he can barely walk around the bases without pulling a hamstring. We know that. The other thing is, when he does come back, it takes forever to get that swing going. And he was swinging it right now as good as he has really in his entire Yankee career. He's been great over the last 10 days. Hitting 300. I think he had 3 home runs in the mix. hitting the ball, you know, singles, runners in scoring position, scored a run the other night. He's, you know, obviously scored a run while he got hurt. He's been playing great. And in the middle of that lineup that's struggling right now with Verdugo completely falling off the table, Soto mired in his first real slump as a Yankee, and the idea that they can't hit left-handed pitching, a right-handed thumper who hits the ball as hard as anyone in baseball on a hot streak suddenly taken out of that lineup, even if it is replaced by the likes of J.D. Davis, who they traded for, and we'll see how they use him inside this, you know, team, either whether it's at third or first. But he's somebody who can hit left-handed pitching. But ultimately, to lose Stanton right now in the middle of all this, as they're struggling, playing their worst baseball of the year, three consecutive series losses when they hadn't lost two in a row all year long, this is not the time. And as these two teams meet Tuesday night, right now the Mets are playing as good as anyone, and the Yankees are doing what bad teams do. When they pitch, they don't hit. When they hit, they don't pitch. If they do both, the bullpen blows it. That has been the New York Yankees over the last 2 weeks or so, since that game against Kansas City where they blew it on the with the opportunity to sweep that four-game set. Since then, they have lost to the Red Sox in embarrassing fashion, and they've been exposed with the catcher position and all the steals, and then, of course, losing 2 out of 3 to Baltimore, and now 2 of 3 at Atlanta. All good teams, all solid teams, although the Red Sox aren't that good, but all solid teams, and the New York Yankees can't measure up. And it's good for the Braves, because if they would have lost that game, they would have just been a lousy team. Because you know, if the Yankees beat you, you can't be good. And we'll find out what happens over the next 2 days. Again, 5-hour midnight ride tomorrow. We'll get more into the Subway Series. But right now, Severino and the Mets win a huge series in Chicago to guarantee themselves a tiebreaker over Chicago should they need it in the wild card race. Severino's been an absolute stud, and this offense continues to show you, whether it's, you know, Vientos with a 450-foot bomb, another home run from the suddenly power-surging Nimmo, Lindor at the top of the order being an absolute beast, J.D. Martinez continuing to carry the team. Just an absolute force. The New York Mets, who have thrusted themselves right back into it, to a spot where I say, you can't trade anyone, no matter how slick you think you are. Don't you do it. And the New York Yankees falling apart into a barren wasteland. It's just like 2022, from whence they'll never recover, and the season's all over. Got it? All summed up? Okay, good. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls here. Peter and Lawrence, what's up, Pete?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I could be better.
Except for the welt on your head.
Except for the welt on my head from, hopefully it's a mosquito. I don't know what bit me. But and it's just funny. I mean, the power of Boomer Esiason. The man, I felt like I was seen by a fortune teller. I once went to a palm reader on the Jersey Shore on my prom weekend.
Seaside?
Went to Seaside Heights, Seaside Heights, stayed at the Horseshoe Hotel or whatever. And on the boardwalk, I went and saw a palm reader, and I had just been I just smacked my car up as a young driver about 2 weeks earlier, and the first thing she said to me was like, are you okay from the car accident? I was like, what? She totally flipped me out. Then she told me I was going to marry a woman named Michelle, and that didn't happen. So one for two isn't bad. She's hitting 500. But that's the power of Boomer Esiason. Boomer Esiason saw me on the street and said, you had mosquito bites on your face, and I said, no, I didn't. And 2 days later, he made it happen. It's freaky.
I listen to the fans a lot. And do you think Licata is right that if Stanton misses more than 4 weeks, it's time to move on?
How? Let's forget.
I know.
Let's assume that's 45 RBI. He's playing great. He's had a great year. He's borderline all-star. He's had a bunch of home runs, RBIs. His OPS is in the high 700s. He's been very, very good. Not nearly the MVP player. Certainly not worth the money he's getting paid. But forget, let's just assume it. I don't even want to argue with it. Let's just say Sal is right. You need to move on from Giancarlo Stanton. Okay, great. How? Obviously after the season. My point is, what's your plan to get rid of him? Are you just going to flat out cut him?
There is no plan.
You're going to cut him?
They can't cut him. They'll be eating up too much salary.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So it's not so much a question. It's not so much.
You're losing a cog. You're losing a cog for 4 weeks that is so important.
Yes.
J.D. Davis is coming in.
Yes.
Is he going to be able to pick up the load? We've lost Birdie.
Yes.
DJ LeMahieu is not hitting.
Mm-hmm.
Trouble.
No, listen, I'm totally with you, Pete. This is a devastating loss for me. I'm not kidding. I'm not sugarcoating this at all. This injury sucks. It sucks. And even though we knew it was coming, this is an extremely inopportune time. And to make matters worse, Dominguez isn't healthy, which would have been the easy replacement. Even that wouldn't have been, who knows? Like, it didn't mean Dominguez was going to come in and hit. Who knows? He could have come in and struggled. But at least there would have been a clear-cut answer and a guy who's shown us at the end of last year that he can be a good hitter. And he was killing it in AAA in his rehab assignment before he got hurt. So not only is Stanton killing them right at the time where they're playing the worst baseball of all year, while particularly against left-handed pitching they're struggling, and there's no replacement in Jason Dominguez. He could not have been hurt at a worse time. Now, the Yankees have overcome injuries, though. Let's not play games. Like, they didn't have Cole all year, and they had the best rotation in the American League. And I'm still liking the rotation, and now Cole's back, so the pitching should be good. The bullpen's a struggle, but they've dealt with injuries. They've lost guys. You know, DJ LeMahieu at the start of the year, Cole at the start of the year, and they thrived. This one hurts right now at the way they're going. No doubt about it. Can't sugarcoat it. Devastating injury because of how good he's been. And do I expect J.D. Davis to step in and be as good? No, I do not. I do not. So, yeah, right now it's a devastating injury, and they're going to have to get through. Hopefully it's 4 weeks. Hopefully it's the 4 weeks they say. One of those weeks is the All-Star break. So hopefully it's 3 weeks, the All-Star break, he's back. My question is, and then how long before we get Stanton back? Like, okay, he'll be there in body. Maybe. Hopefully. In 4 weeks. But how long before he's actually good again? Because every time the guy gets hurt, when he comes back, he needs 50, 60 at-bats, bare minimum, before he starts hitting the ball again. Bare minimum. And last year, I don't know if he ever got it back. So I'm very concerned about that. Very concerned about it. This is a tough injury for the New York Yankees, no doubt. But when you say, okay, if it's more than 4 weeks, should the Yankees move on? Yeah, okay. Yes, fine. Yes. Hell, they should move on now if they can. How? That's the question isn't should they? The question is how can they? And if you just think cutting him is the answer, I don't. Planning around him, yeah. I mean, what's the difference? I might as well have him on the bench. If I cut him, I'm spending the same amount of money. And if you can find someone who he showed you enough this year where maybe someone will eat some of the contract because of the way he's played, despite the injuries, okay, if that's plausible, I'm open to trading him, but he's got a no-trade clause. So again, I ask you, it's not so much should they, it's how do they. Now, the other question to that is, how do they plan a team next year with him on it, knowing that he won't be available? Like, they have to do a better job of making sure his injuries don't hurt them as much, and you can't plan for him to be a major part of your team, knowing how often he's injured. But again, that's next year. And as much as I'd love to answer your question about Sal's opinion, or anybody's opinion, or the future of the Yankees, I don't care. I'm in the middle of a season where they're in first place. I know we forget. I know they're the worst team in baseball. I know they suck, and it's all been a mirage and smoke and mirrors, and it doesn't matter, and they can't beat the good teams, and it's all a disaster. I get it. They're a game and a half over the Baltimore Orioles, who just lost three in a row. They lost 2 out of 3 to Atlanta, and they picked up a game. The season is by far not even close to over. I don't care about what happens with Stanton next year. When's he coming back? How quickly can I expect him to be good? Where's Jason Dominguez in all this? When can he be back and be up with the team? J.D. Davis is nice, not going to be enough. Who do they target for the trade deadline, knowing we have to now add more bats, relief pitching? Like, they have a lot to do. They have a lot to do. But I still look around the rest of the American League and say, if they do it, I still think they're as good as anybody. Maureen Belmore, tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. So call in the backups. I'm sick and tired of Stanton, but there's nothing we could do, folks. We got to deal with him.
Yeah, I guess. I think that's harsh, though. Sick and tired of him. Well, I know he gets hurt. Have you not been pleased with the way he's played?
I love him. He's been playing great, Chris. He's been unbelievable. Listen, I expected this to happen.
Everyone did. That's what I'm saying.
It didn't happen now.
Right.
Soto stinks right now. I don't understand.
Right.
Look, I love Soto. I want to sign him long-term.
Of course.
You know, one player does not make a team. As much as we love him, and he's a great 10-year, we want him forever. He's not hitting in situations where I thought he would be hitting. And I know we lost Rizzo. I get it. Listen, I'm not panicking. We're still in first place. But to compare, I think we just, there's no one that's going to take that. And this Dominguez kid gets hurt too. Well, it'd take him 6 years to get up here.
I know. Tommy John and Oblique in the last, you know, 8-9 months.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not blaming Cashman. I think, you know, we are great to be where we're at. They need to be lively for this series. They need to be up for this series. They need to win one of the two or both games. They need to wake up a little bit. It's got to be started with Cole. Let's see how he starts tomorrow.
It's a big start for Cole. It is. It's a big start for Cole.
Back on track. And the only thing that I'm concerned about is when Stanton comes back, is it going to be 1 month, 2 months, or 3 months before he starts hitting again? You're so right.
That's it. I mean, no, that's it.
Every year.
No, no question. I mean, that's the question. When he comes back, it takes forever. If he just came back, I'd sign for it right now. If he comes back, screw it, 5 weeks. Honestly, 5 weeks. Come back August 1st. If he comes back August 1st and picks up right where he leaves off, I'll be thrilled. The problem is he comes back and he's swinging at those sliders and his timing's off and it takes forever. That's the issue. Even when he comes back, he's not back. And right, he was killing it. He was in the process of killing it. It's a real tough injury. And they've got a million holes. But you're right. This is a start. And again, we're going to get more into it tomorrow. But it's a huge start for Cole. Huge start. It was a huge start for, I thought, Stroman on that Saturday game. It's going to get lost because they lost the series, and that's all anybody cares about. And I understand that. It is. They need to win series. But that was an enormous start. After two back-to-back games of starting pitching, getting their ass kicked against Baltimore and Atlanta, they needed him desperately. Desperately. To show up and give a good performance. And he gives up the home run in the first and then settles down. He allows the offense to come through. Judge hits a home run. It was, you know, a much-needed win. They ended up losing the series, but that performance from Stroman was huge. That was his big moment as a Yankee. Now, Cole needs to come back, show he's the ace. This is a big start for him. He's been absent the whole time. The team's been thriving without him. Now they need him. They desperately need him. And we saw a couple of performances, because I could tell you right now, watching last night, I think that was Severino's quintessential Met performance. That was a great win. I think you could argue those two wins in this series against Chicago were the two best wins the Mets have had all year. Pounding Imanaga like that and continuing to bounce back right off the loss against Texas. To have a long winning streak snapped, have a day off, and then come right back and absolutely pound one of the best starting pitchers in all of baseball this year? That was an enormous win. And then to lose that game, McGill gets lit up, to come right back and take a series against the team and now solidify at least, hey, listen, the Cubs got to be a game better than you if they want to beat you in the wild card standings. That's a big win. It's far bigger than the next two games, despite what anybody wants to talk about. That win yesterday is bigger than anything that can happen over the next 2 days. And that's why, again, Mendy has done an incredible job. I think moving Severino to yesterday was a brilliant decision. He has done a really great job. He is a good manager. Think about all the different things he's done and how they've worked. I mean, really, moving Lindor to leadoff has opened him up completely. Moving Severino just here, that was a great move. He's coming out there at different times and trusted starting pitching. Like, he's done a really nice job. He's a good manager. I think the Mets have a really good manager on their hands. And I think they have a really good GM. And the question is he going to be smart enough to not do what he wants to do? Is he going to be smart enough to turn down packages for Severino or J.D. Martinez and chase this thing? Because this Met team's shown you enough. They've shown you enough. Unless this thing falls apart, this Met team has shown me enough that I have to chase it.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call The Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
All right. You know what's going to make me lose my mind? Watching Jeff McNeil continue to hit. I mean, my God. His at-bats have just grown worse and worse and worse and worse. I can't take it. Stop playing him. Because I can tell you right now, as a Yankee fan, which I don't know if you know this, I am. I am a Yankee fan, believe it or not. And I can tell you right now who I hope is in the lineup. And I can tell you right now, well, I don't want Iglesias in there. Give me McNeil. And again, I know that Fliegelman will have this queued up, although he hates Jeff almost as much as I do. But he'll have it queued up if McNeil knocks him around, comes up with a big hit. But I'm telling you right now, watch the at-bats. I mean, I don't know why they continue to play him. I honestly don't know why. Iglesias has been much better. It's past the point of playing him into a position where you could trade him. Like, everywhere else, that's the one thing I would say about Mendy right now, the one thing I'd say about the way this team is going. Everywhere else, they've held people accountable. And I know they benched him for a long stretch prior to the London game. And, you know, he hasn't played every single day. But, I mean, over the last little bit, I mean, he's right-handed pitching. He's in there. I know they gave him some rest. They gave him some, you know, rest against the lefty. But he shouldn't even be playing this much against right-handed pitching. It's been a year and a half. He's hitting 200. He's awful. Now, I know he gives you some defensive flexibility, and he can play outfield, infield. And, I mean, I guess we're going to see. I haven't heard any word on Marte. I know he left the game. He's got a knee issue. I don't know if they've made a... He's getting an MRI today. So we'll find out about Marte. And so I suppose that opens it up where you might be forced to play him a little bit. And you can, you know, obviously because he can play the outfield. It opens it up a little bit there, but I can't watch him hit anymore. It's brutal. And DJ LeMahieu's not far off right now, unfortunately for the Yankees. But those two guys right now have just been absolutely brutal. Two former batting champs. I mean, if you listen, I know because I've gotten a million messages. You know, LeMahieu for McNeil, who says no? I'm like, I don't know. Me? God? Somebody, please. I don't know. Somebody say no. But both guys, former batting champions. At least DJ has a little bit more of an age issue and an injury issue. But, I mean, no excuse. He's just been brutal. And we'll see how much J.D. Davis plays. And it sounds like J.D. Davis is going to get most of his time at first, which... I want to see Ben Rice hit. Ben Rice has been good. He got two hits last night. I like the swing. He's a young kid. I'd rather see J.D. Davis get most of his time at third base. But we got to see how the Yankees do it. But right now, this is a big two-game set for both teams. Mets trying to continue the hot streak, and you know the Yankees just have to stop this slide. And you know it's going to happen. You knew there would be up and downs in the season. But right now, you lose Stanton and the lineup at the bottom, especially if... You know, right now, the team is built. Let's be honest. We know what the team is built on. The team is built on good starting pitching with Cole at the top of it. And, I mean, maybe not built at the start of the year. You might not have expected it. But right now, it's starting pitching. And Soto and Judge. And right now, other than walks, Soto isn't keeping his end of the bargain. And the other guy we loved and praised, and don't get me wrong, that catch the other night, even though they lost that game, that catch from Verdugo and the way he's played outfield has been incredible. Right now, he is in a major funk. His at-bats look horrendous. His OPS is plummeting. I mean, they need more from the middle of that lineup. Forget the back end of it. So there's a ton of holes and a ton of guys really struggling right now for this Yankee team that is still holding on to first place and actually picked up a game, if you can believe that. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Danny and Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on?
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm okay, you know, allergies acting up, but otherwise I'm all right.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens. The allergies start to act up.
Yeah, there's one thing I don't get. You know, I was just reading the main thing. why is Spencer Jones getting called up? The guy's hitting like 377 in Somerset. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's hitting 377 on the season. He might be hitting 377 over the last, 2 weeks or something. But because I know he was struggling for a while. Because I mean, they're not going to call up Spencer Jones right now. I don't think that's an option. He needs a little bit more seasoning. He's barely played. He missed a lot of. He's missed too much time. I mean, he had a stiff neck thing. He's barely played. You need a little bit more seasoning before you throw someone in to a situation. And I mean, it wouldn't be a terrible. Like I like this as much as they're struggling right now. They're still in first place, so it wouldn't be like a save me type thing. That's what scares me when you bring up a guy like that, where it's like we're falling apart. We need you. Which on some level that would be a little bit, but they're still in first place. So I don't know how much pressure it would feel like he'd have to come in and change things, but I'm not messing with that. That he's too young. He's just getting started. I can't thrust him into the middle of this. I don't think it's even an option. I mean, they lost Pereira too. Like they've lost all their injury guys. They brought up Peraza for a day just to cover themselves in case they needed him. They send him back down. Like right now, it just doesn't feel like that that bus ride from AAA and AA to Yankee Stadium feels like a big one. He's hitting two. Say that again on air. It's okay.
242 overall this year, 284 in the month of June.
Yeah, I knew the numbers were off. He might have seen like the last week or something because he got off to, he was really struggling. He had a stiff neck for a long time. And he was, when he came back, he struggled for a long time. So it's not like he's been killing it. And that was a misleading. He might have a good week here. I'm not sure what he's been doing the last week, but he's hitting 240.
Yeah, he's been really looking at the game log without doing the numbers. He's been really hot like the last 10 days. So maybe it's 377.
Yeah, maybe 377 in the last 10 days. But overall, it's not been, unbelievable. Now, look, Ben Rice got called up. He wasn't in AAA very much at all. Volpe hardly ever played AAA. Same thing with Dominguez. So it's not crazy. I think, right, Michael Harris of Atlanta never played AAA, got called up straight from AA and has never gone back down. So it's not unheard of. I just, right now, I'm calling him up when I expect him to stay. Same thing with Dominguez. Like I don't like the idea of bringing a guy up and then once I get healthy again, I'm sending him back down. And barring him coming up and tearing the cover off the ball, it would be for that short period of time, which I don't like. Anthony and Bradley Beach. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Chris, thank you so much. I just want to make a couple of thoughts. First of all, I know you like this guy, Price, and you're really, really hot on him. So, okay, I can give you that. But if you remember at the beginning of the season, Cabrera was killing it. He was hitting 345, 333, 345, and then all of a sudden they stopped playing him like a bunch of morons. And
no, that's not entirely true. He cooled off. He cooled off.
He cooled off to what? 250? So listen, he really was good, and they slowed him down, and he really had an opportunity. DJ LeMahieu is not an asset. He's a deficit right now. And, Verdugo, with the men, the bases were jam-packed, and he couldn't come through. And he keeps on not coming through. So these are all the hitters that are not coming through. So, I mean, I would like to give Cabrera the crack at it again. And, Price is good, but I like Cabrera.
Who? Who's Price? Rice. Am I Rice?
Yeah, no, Price.
The guy who
I forgot his name. The guy who you like who just came up. I'm sorry.
First baseman, Ben Rice.
Rice
with an R. Okay. Yeah, not Price. That's okay. I just wasn't sure who you're talking about. Ben Rice is playing first base. Cabrera could still play third base. I mean, and again, I like Oswaldo Cabrera. I do. And you're right. He started out hot and then he cooled off. And it wasn't just because he was missing play time. He cooled off way before DJ LeMahieu came back. He cooled off. And again, he's a switch hitter who they pretty much took right-handed hitting away from him. Like, I mean, I get it. And he did have a good stretch. He's not the guy. He just isn't. The Yankees don't think he's the guy. I think once you see him play long enough, he's not going to be the guy. Now, is he better than LeMahieu is right now? Yes. LeMahieu's been terrible. So should he play over LeMahieu? I can't argue that. I'm fine with that. But they need a better answer. They can't. He is not going to play his way into eliminating the need for a third baseman at the trade deadline. There's nothing. They're not. He's not going to do that. I think Ben Rice has the ability. We'll see. We don't know. I've seen enough of Oswaldo Cabrera. He's been here for 2.5 years. Like, we've seen him. I like him. He's solid. There is nothing he's going to do over the next month to make me think I don't need to go add another infielder. Where Ben Rice could play himself. I don't, you know, we don't know enough about him, and he's looked okay. If Ben Rice, you know, there's a chance he kind of settles first base for us, and then you can go get a third baseman. But Oswaldo Cabrera is not going to settle third base for the New York Yankees. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. There's nothing he can do. Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Mr. McMonagle, it's been a while.
Oh, it has been a while, Pat. What's going on?
Well, I've been inside the hospital for a little while with some hip surgery, but I'm back out. They let me out so I can torment the waves of WFAN.
Yes, well, thank you very much. I'm glad to have you back.
It's good to talk to you in the overnight. McNeil, I like him not because he's Irish, but I remember him having a conversation one time, or them talking about him and Alonso. They used to, in the minor leagues, go home run for home run off each other. Now, I know he's not capable at this level of doing that anymore, but I think he's a more dangerous bat than Vogelbach ever was. And if you would simply give up trying to hit him where they ain't, because we know that doesn't work anymore with the new rules, just try to get under one, trying to get one out. He can hit 220 and be a dangerous bat in the lineup, hitting 220 and hitting 15 to 20 home runs a year. And he's worth keeping just for that reason.
Yeah, Pat, I totally disagree with you on that one, bud. And you want to talk about getting under. It's all he does. All he does is get under the ball. He's popping it up left and right. Jeff McNeil hitting 220 and 15 to 17 home runs doesn't do it for me, bud. I don't need that. I need Jeff McNeil to hit 320. I need Jeff McNeil to hit 310, or what is he doing? Like, honestly. And he's been, you know, for the first 5 years they talked about on the broadcast, which I thought, you know, I thought Shambi did a good job. I thought the broadcast was actually pretty good. They mentioned for the first, you know, almost 5 years of his career, he was a 309 hitter. That's what you need from him. That's what he's got to be. That's how he's useful. He's not going to be useful. I mean, they used to say this about Ichiro, right? Ichiro could hit, you know, go home run for home run in batting practice. He should join the home run derby. Ichiro could win the home run derby. Great. It wasn't Ichiro's game. Jeff McNeil hitting 20 home runs, hitting 210 isn't going to do it for me. I'm sorry. And I don't think he could do it, to be honest with you. But right now he's popping up. He has terrible swings. The at-bats are over quickly. He doesn't take pitches. Like, it's just, I don't know. I'm just tired of watching him. He's been brutally bad. Brutally bad. And I just can't justify. There was a time where I said, look, especially when they were struggling, you know, I don't know about this team right now. They feel kind of dead to me. Play out Jeff McNeil. Maybe, just maybe, he can get hot here. The contract isn't awful. Maybe get someone to eat who's willing, if he eats some of his contract, to take him. I don't think that's plausible anymore. And the team is winning. Forget it. Play the best players. They've done that every other spot. Hauser's not good enough in the rotation. Get out. Like, that's what they've done in every other situation. And yet, Jeff McNeil gets through. Right? I mean, you don't want to be here. You don't want to be here, Lopez? Bye. Like, that's just it. Like, that's how they've handled everything. And Jeff McNeil continues to get at bats. He's awful. Iglesias has earned more playing time. And more than that, Jeff McNeil has earned less.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
David Wells has pitched a perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells. And the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:51, McMonagle here with you. Taking your phone calls for the next 9 minutes or so. We'll get to them in a second. I mentioned that I went to the game on Saturday. I forgot to mention this. So we parked on the street, because it was Saturday with nothing else going on. I wanted to get there early. And we found some street parking, hung out a little bit before the game, made sure we got in early. As soon as they opened the gates, my son wanted to go to batting practice, try and catch home runs. But as we're walking to the street, I don't know if his school is big on this or something, but like he was just, and it's cute because he's a little bit of a monster. Let's go, as all boys are. The two of them together are just, you can't, you know, sometimes it's just like talking and they don't even hear you. They're just beating each other up. You stop, stop, stop. It's like, you're not even there. And so it was surprising to me how much litter affected him. He was so upset with the amount of litter on the ground walking from the car to Yankee Stadium. He was almost like on his hand, like ready to pick, like he was on his hands and knees about to pick up garbage and like look for a garbage. I'm like, buddy, you gotta just, you know, I appreciate you wanting to help, but like, he's like, who would just throw this on the ground? He was like completely flabbergasted that there would be garbage on the ground. He was blown away by it. I'm like, we need to get out more. You are uncultured. We gotta
take your suburb kids to the city.
Yeah, I mean, geez, that's it. We gotta come out more often. He was just, we've been to Yankee Stadium, and I feel like we've done things, and it's never bothered him. But all of a sudden, like to that day, it was just like, who would just throw this on the ground? Where's the garbage? I'm like, I don't know, buddy. He's like, I'm gonna pick it up. I'm like, no, you're not gonna pick it up. I'll pick it up. So there I am picking up garbage.
If you go sit in the bleachers for a game, you might have to have a talk before you get
right
there.
And he was mad at me because I got a bag of peanuts, and he's like, "What? You're just dropping the shells on the floor." I'm like, well, I mean, I'm trying to keep, but yeah, yes. Shells are hitting the floor, buddy. Let the shells hit the floor. Richie in Queens, what's up, Richie?
Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good, how are you?
All right, now, I'll tell you what, it's just amazing how baseball just turns around.
Turns on a dime. 2 weeks ago, yeah. The Yankees were unstoppable and the Mets were done. And now they're heading into the Subway Series, and heck, if the Mets don't win both games by 7 or 8 runs, what the hell are they doing?
Yeah, I wouldn't get that cocky, but hey, right now, you know, I looked at the Mets, you know, obviously they're pitching if Senga can come back. I mean, Manaea's been good. I thought he would be. I had him last year.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to keep him. He's done a good job. And, you know, Quintana is what he is. He pitched good, but I'm just not sold on their pitching. If Senga's going to be such a key, but their hitting, I mean, their hitting was an absolute joke in the last 30 days.
It's amazing how it's turned around.
Yeah, and that's a pretty good barometer when you do that. So, and I know everybody says 6 games, 8 games, 8 teams in the playoff hunt for the wild card, but you win your games, you set your own standard.
Of course.
So, They're back in it. Now, your team, okay?
Uh-huh.
There's obviously flaws. LeMahieu, at this point, again, you talk about barometers. He's been just nothing offensively. He gives you no extra base power. And losing Stanton, you know, people said he was having a good year. To me, I thought he was having a great year, Chris.
Yeah.
This guy was a non-entity. This guy was going to be... You know, last year he couldn't run the bases. He couldn't. He was missing balls by 3 feet. Now you lose him. Obviously, Rizzo, who didn't give you a lot. I don't know what Rice is. He might be decent. Verdugo looks like he's taken. And you know, Judge is not going to continue that pace, too. One guy I worry about is Rodon. Rodon's a power pitch. He's 2 pitches. I don't know if they're catching up to him. But, you know, there's obviously with the bullpen. So
yeah,
they're still one of the top teams. And the most surprising team to me in that league is the Guardians, Chris. They've been Kwan and Ramirez winning 49 games.
Yeah, I mean,
unbelievable.
No, Kwan and Naylor. Yeah, I mean, they've been, and, you know, Stephen Kwan has been unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievable. He is one of the great hitters in this league now. He's emerging as one of the great hitters in this league. He's impossible to get out. Very tough. And you mentioned Rodon. You know what? I was on the other night. After that game where he got lit up by Atlanta, the thing about Rodon that scares me, and, you know, this isn't making excuses for him. This is just a fact. I think I don't like how emotional he is sometimes. And I understand that. I think part of it is he wants to succeed, and we all want that from our players. He cares and everything. But if you watch that game... Right, and last year he was so bad once he came back and once the ball started rolling in the wrong direction and he's blowing kisses to the fans and everything, and it just started to feed on itself and he couldn't snap out of it. And I think for someone, you know, here trying to make a good impression, like he left that last game of the year against Kansas City and had to go like in a retreat like Aaron Rodgers. He had to go in a dark room for 2 weeks before he can like figure out what to do with himself. Like he's a little bit too emotional. If you watch that game, he ran the gamut of just emotions, where after the first inning, he's yelling in the dugout. Then when he gets taken out, he's in tears in the dugout, and Gleyber Torres is trying to, coddle him and put his arm around him and say it's okay. He had to cover his face with his hat. And I'm not mocking him for it. I'm not. This is not me making fun of someone for crying, and no crying in baseball. I'm not going to do the bit. He was upset. And then in the post game, he sounded like he lost his puppy. He was completely dejected and sad. And I just think that's a lot of emotions for one day for a pitcher for one bad outing or, you know, back-to-back bad outings after a great year. And he just seems like someone who's going to wear it too much on his sleeve. And I'm not saying, you know, and this isn't me saying don't boo him or anything, but when the boo birds come out, and they're going to come out when you get, you know, lambasted against the Red Sox, and then you show up and don't give the team a chance to win at home against the Braves, coming off a miserable, the worst start of Heel's young career, and you come out and immediately get you know, bombarded with home runs. It's 2-0 in two pitches. You're going to hear some boos. You're going to go through it. You're going to get hit up. And he just ran angry, emotional, sad. It was just like too much. He needs to, like, be able to control himself a little bit. And this, I'm just saying, like, because we've seen, and he mopes a little bit, and he reminded me of Gary Sanchez in that way. Gary Sanchez would mope. The fans would get on him. He'd get critics criticized in the media. He would struggle a little bit, and you could read his body language. You could read his body language that it wore on him. And I'm... as much as I think it's two starts, same thing with Luis Gil. Luis Gil has a bad start, and suddenly it's, oh, he's hit some sort of a limit. We know that he's going to be fatigued. We know it's a problem. This is the end. The league is caught up to him. It's one bad start. And as much as I feel the same way about Rodon, hey, it's a couple bad starts here. He's been great all year. Prior to those two starts, he had an under 3 ERA. What worries me about him is once the ball gets rolling in the wrong direction, I feel like it affects him more than it does other pitchers. He's got to figure out a way to be a little bit less on edge, a little bit less emotional. Like, I know that's reading into it, and I'm not one to read body language and get hung up on that. But, I mean, he's screaming, he's crying, he's sad. Like, it was one start. We ran the gamut. I'm a little concerned, especially with how the first half, you know, the second half of his first year with the Yankees went. I want to see him have a good start and put a couple things together, because I get the feeling if things start rolling wrong on Rodon, it could be an issue. But that's it for me. I'll catch you tomorrow for a 5-hour midnight ride as we will break down, get ready for a Subway Series, which should have some juice in it, especially for Met fans who are looking to, you know, maybe get another memory besides the first game ever. I don't know. Just thinking about it. All right, I'll catch you tomorrow. The warm-up show is next. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. Fleegs, I'm out of here. Catch you tomorrow midnight. Sports Radio 101.